is still there. I'm going to stand on what God has said. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to throw it out. I'm not going to run out of this. I'm not going to get pulled out by the devil, because I'm going to stay right here and endure hardness as a good soldier. And I'm going to keep my head focused on God. And I'm going to keep my head lifted until the hills from which cometh my help, for my help coming from the Lord. I got wisdom in this wilderness. You're not just fooling with an amateur today. I got some understanding. I got some knowledge, because I've been through some.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. What a powerful word, my brothers and sisters. No new word to the believer, but I certainly want to refresh us in this word, because it's so important, especially in this day and time, that the believers learn to control their tongues. So many people right now are in their graves because they couldn't control their tongues. So many people are in jail because it started with them not being able to control their tongues. So many marriages are ended in divorce because somebody didn't know how to control their tongue. So many relationships are broken up because people did not know how to control that little unruly evil James calls it, the tongue. And so believers don't understand. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's a little member, but if not controlled, it can do great damage. If controlled, it can do great good, because there are so many things connected with this, and I hope and pray the liberty of the Spirit of God will flow in this place to give me liberty to connect all these dots to help you understand how important what you say is. You see, one of the things that we miss from the beginning is the fact that Genesis 1 and 26 says that God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, the first thing we need to know about that is that man needs to know that his tongue and the power thereof is given to mimic God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and or the Word of God. The people of God are supposed to be speaking, are supposed to be repeating, are supposed to be saying, declaring the Word of God in this earth realm. Listen again, Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was what? How did light come to be? Because he spoke it with his mouth. And in verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, verse 29, all those phrases repeat themselves. God spoke it. God spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke it. And listen at this. That same power that God had, God gave it to us on a lower level in the earth realm to be able to duplicate. We are the only creation God made in his image and in his likeness. You know why animals can't speak God's word? Because they weren't made in his image and his likeness. Man was. And man is to mimic God. He's to have dominion over the whole earth, over the fowls of the air, over the fish in the sea, over the living things on the earth, everything that creepeth upon the earth. He's to have dominion over that. How would he have that dominion but with his mouth? Matter of fact, God said to Adam, listen, whatever you name everything on earth, I'm going to agree with you. And so when Adam saw, you know, a giraffe, long neck, he said, giraffe. Saw a big old wide long hippo, he said, hippo. Saw a great big old elephant, long trunk. He said, elephant. Everything he said, God agreed with it, because God gave him dominion and gave him the authority, that's right, to name everything on the earth, because he was a little God. He was the master copy of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost in the earth realm. And there's so much more I want to say about that, but I just want to suffice it to say that just picking up that, and let's move on back. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 6 and 2, because I want to show you about if your tongue does not cooperate with the word of God, you're going to set yourself up to be set up. Proverbs 6 and 2, when you get it, say amen. If you got it, read. Two things happen. Thou art snared, and thou art taken. But here's the thing. With what? With the words of your mouth. What is a snare? A snare is an entrapment. Don't you know, my brothers and sisters, and I pray you're listening to me well, you talking about the devil doing you this, the devil doing you that. Do you know how much damage you're doing to yourself with your own words? You're not, you, listen, you can't blame it all on the devil. You're not free of what's happening to you. What is happening to you is because of what you let come out of your mouth. You're snared. You're entangled. You are trapped by your own words. Then the word taken. The word taken here literally means to be beholden. Beholden. That means you're responsible for what comes out of your mouth. You're going to be accountable to what comes out of your mouth. What you say is what you are responsible for. You're beholden to it. In other words, you're going to have to answer for what comes out of your mouth. Turn to Matthew 12 and 37. Matthew 12 and 37. Because that was the Old Testament, but I want you to see what Jesus says. Jesus says, Matthew 12, verse 37. When you get it, say amen. I'm going to wait for a few more amens. But I want you to see that Jesus is agreeing with what the writer in the Old Testament says. Says it a little bit different, but the concept is still the same. All right. When you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. Read. All right. For by thy word, you shall be justified. Justified. But also by your words, you shall be condemned. Now, here is what's most important to hear and understand. Even if the words you speak are not justified in the ear of the hearer, they're justified in the ear of God. Even if the words you speak down here don't condemn you, because you might have folk down here who agree with your bad talk. Because all of y'all are talking the same kind of bad talk. So nobody's going to be upset about it. Nobody's going to be indifferent with it because they're talking the same talk. And they might not condemn you, but guess who's going to condemn you? And when it really matters the most, does it matter whether man justifies you or condemns you, or does it matter most if God justifies you or condemns you? God. So why do we waste so much time trying to say stuff that pleases man? I mean, we go out of our way sometimes trying to say and find the right words to say stuff to make folk happy. And yet we don't take that same energy to say the things that pleases God. Listen at this, because I want you to see something else. Maybe you don't realize there is a law called the law of reciprocity. And that literally means what goes up comes down, what goes out comes in, what you sow, you reap. Now listen at this. I want you to read Proverbs 18 and 20. Turn that right quick. Proverbs 18 and 20. Proverbs 18 and 20. Now, I want you to hear this because I want to make a point that's going to be helpful to your understanding. Proverbs 18 and 20. When you have it, say amen. All right, read. Listen, a man's belly, the word belly here means heart or conscience. A man's heart or a man's conscience will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Now, fruit, as it's referred to here, generally has seeds. Never have I seen more seedless fruit today than I've ever seen. When I was a little boy and they cut open the watermelon, you had to spit out with one piece of watermelon about 20 seeds. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's right, dark brown or black seeds. Yeah. And, that used to be the times when grapes, you couldn't enjoy a good grape. You didn't bite too hard because you know you was going to bite into some seeds. Yeah, tangerines and all of that now don't have no seeds. Can I tell you something? Anything that does not have seeds is not best for you. It means it's been altered. It's been modified. And listen at this. It means that it's a hybrid. A hybrid. You know what a hybrid is? A hybrid means that it has been messed with for common terms. But it has been altered so much so that you have the fruit, but that you don't have the thing in the fruit that made the fruit. In other words, you have the fruit, but you don't have the seed. So therefore, the fruit does not bear the fullness of what it was designed to bear because the taste and everything else is different because it's been modified. You remember how deep green watermelons used to be? How deep red apples used to be? You know how sweet oranges and all of those used to be and grapes? Well, now it's altered now. But here's the most important thing about a hybrid. A hybrid, listen, can be enjoyed, but it cannot reproduce. Let me put it this way. If a horse and a donkey mate, they create, does anyone know what it creates? It creates a mule. If a horse and a donkey mate, they create a mule. Now you look this up. But here is the thing. The mule can't reproduce. It's sterile. It's sterile. So even though the horse and the donkey produced the mule is only good for as long as it lives because it can't produce nothing else after itself. And when men mess with the original plan of God, it becomes sterile and it can't reproduce. So you need to know that when you mess with seedless stuff, you messing with stuff that God didn't ordain. It might be easy to eat. It might be good and quick, but it's not the best thing for you. Organic is the best thing for you. Listen, we're so used with the phony and the false that we don't like the real no more. And I'm saying that to say that the fruit of our lips, the increase of our lips, references the seeds. The words that come out of our mouths are seeds. Are seeds. And that's why you've got to be careful what you say, because what you say is going to grow. It's coming back to you. And so when you know this, then you're going to be careful about the things you let folk make you mad and make you say in a moment of time. You're going to be careful what you say, what you think, how you feel, because it's coming back to you again. And that's why verse 21 follows verse 20, and it says death and life. Both realities come out of the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. And so that means if you speak death to your situation, if you speak death about your situation, if you speak death, which represents negative words, negative thoughts, negative things, if you say anything different than what God has said, he considers it death. You remember when Eve was in the garden? And the serpent came down and met her and wanted her to eat of the tree. And she was like, no, if I eat of this tree, I'm going to die. And the serpent said to her, ye shall not surely die. Eve said, but the day we eat of fruit, we shall surely die. And the serpent said, no, you shall not surely die. So Eve ate the fruit. Now, she didn't die. She didn't physically die. So she took part of the fruit to Adam. And Adam ate. But if you check your Bible, the original reference to Adam not eating off the tree came before Eve ever came on the scene. God made that statement to Adam. Eve was not yet taken from his side. But needless to say, he told her, which was his responsibility and his right to do. But when she brought it to him, seeing that she had eaten and it was good for fruit, he ate himself. And there's a deeper explanation about that now. By the grace of God, get into that a little longer because it takes a little greater explanation for that. But there's a reason he did that. But when he did that, then immediately, spiritually, he died. He died. And so everything that had been originally given to him and everything that he was to have, et cetera, and all of that shifted because of his sin. And that's another story that's going to require a lot more explanation. But the reason I'm bringing that up to you is to understand that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when we don't obey the word of God, we're going to eat the fruit thereof. If we love the word of God, we're going to eat the fruit of that word. If we love Satan's sin and lies, we're going to eat the fruit of Satan's sin and lies. In other words, whatever we love, that's what we're going to produce. That's what we're going to speak. That's what we're going to sow. But by the same token, that's the harvest that's coming back to us as a reality of what we have sown. Great man of God said, and I need your help for this, and I'm gonna cut it because I can see some of y'all are having troubles reaching this message here. I need six men to stand in front of the deacon stand. Six men. If you're a man, you know you're a man. Give me six men on this side. I need six men to stand in front of the deaconess side. Same thing applies. Ain't no men moving. Do I need to call women? Come on, man. Quick. 6 men on the right side, 6 men on the left side. I need 3 men to get before the altar and bow on one knee. 3 men in front of the altar to bow on your knee. Do I have 6 men on my left? Do I have 6 on my right? Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Either you can't count or you don't know you're a man. What's the problem? We got 3 men in the middle. 5. I need 1 more man. Is there a man in the house? All right. Bless the Lord. Jesus. I want the men on the left to turn and face the wall. But I want you to hold both hands up like you're holding a picket sign. And walk very, very slowly. Very, very slowly, like you're almost pallbearers. Walk with the signs in front of you held up like they're picket signs. I want the men to the right to face the wall. But I want you to walk to the wall, turn around quickly, and walk back to the center aisle. Turn around quickly and walk back to the wall. I want you to do that fast. Fast. Men on the other side, I want you to walk slow. Turn around, come back, walk slow. You're holding up the sign for folk to see. I'll tell you what's on the sign in a minute. You just hold it up. The 3 men in front of the altar, kneeling down. Man of God saw in the vision that there was a problem with the people of God and their confessions. Keep walking, keep until I tell you stop. Keep doing it. You shouldn't have volunteered if you weren't going to help me. All right. Now I'm going to make it quick for you. He said in the vision, God, why are the 3 men kneeling down in the ditch? And he said to them, these are men whose words have entrapped them. These are believers. But because of their own speech, they found themselves falling in the ditch by things they have said. They're Christians, they're believers, but it's their own words that keep knocking them down. He said, well, who are these men on the right that's going up and down, back and forth, fast? He said, these are demons. Listen, 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 listen. He said, and the reason why they're moving so fast is because they are taking the negative words that believers are saying that disagree with the word of God and fulfilling them so that they won't be able to retract them before the devastation comes. So they're in a hurry to bring the curse against them before they retract it. He said, well, who are the men on the left side? He said, those are angels. He said, well, why are they holding up signs? He said, they're holding up signs, and the signs say, we'll work for a word. Let me make it plain, because I know that'll go right over your head. The angels are saying, they're just waiting for some believers to agree with the word of God so they could take that word and manifest it in the earth realm. God has got angels watching over you. He said he will watch over his word to perform it. And when you speak what thus saith the Lord, God will. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Give them a big hand. Thank you, brother.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email